As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
Jesus will come again with a judgment and with authority, and there will be a vindication and an exaltation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is that when Jesus comes, he will reject those who rejected him. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you, my friend, must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Rooted Heart.
This past week, I had some extra time for study, and I took some time to read straight through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because together they give a single picture of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read through these Gospels, you begin to hear some of the parables that Jesus taught. And these parables are rich with understanding concerning his will and concerning his word for our lives. And this particular parable is very unique amongst the parables for a number of reasons. First of all, this parable was given by Jesus about 2.5 years into his earthly ministry. Jesus had been proclaiming himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God. He had been teaching concerning even his death, burial, and resurrection. But up until this time, he had not really used parabolic teaching. He had just been straightforward in his manner of telling his generation, and in particular, those around the Sea of Galilee, concerning who he was and what he would do. And in fact, in this particular day in which Jesus ministered, there at the Sea of Galilee, if you look back to chapter 12 of Matthew's Gospel, you'll find out some things that took place in particular on this day. It says in verse 22, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" So Jesus had been doing many great works and teaching many great things, but on this particular day, there was a man that came to him who was possessed of demons, but also he was a man who could not see and he could not speak. Now imagine if you were amongst the crowd, and even if you knew this guy, and suddenly Jesus speaks, and this man is now seeing, and he is now talking, you would be just like the crowd that was there that day on the seashores of Galilee. You would say, "Wow, truly this is the Son of God." And that's essentially what they said in verse 23. They were amazed and they said, "Is not this the Son of David?" Meaning by that, that his lineage, as he had spoken to them, indicated that he was the very Son of God. Well, as is always the case when truth is presented, there are some who are amazed and there are some who are filled with disbelief and hardened hearts. And on this day, those with disbelief were the Pharisees themselves. And the Bible says in verse 24 that the Pharisees not only disbelieved Christ, but they said something unimaginable to many of us about Jesus Christ. Look at what they said in verse 24. "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." In essence, what they say is, he's not doing this by the power of God. This is by the power of Satan. They not only were rejecting Jesus Christ, but they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit because they were saying, this is the work of the devil rather than the work of God. You might say that at this 2.5 year point, the heat was getting turned up in the spiritual kitchen of Jesus' ministry. all of a sudden, he not only has some jealous, envious people watching him in the form of the Pharisees, but now they begin to hurl some accusations. They're beginning to say some unbelievable things, and now the hatred is beginning to grow. And so from this point in Jesus' ministry, he begins to speak to them in parables. He's not mixing the message. He's not changing the message. He's speaking in parabolic teaching, however, so that his ministry will prolong until the appointed day of his crucifixion. And what a significant time this is. And in this first particular parable that Jesus gives, it is the parable of the farmer sowing seed. And we're going to learn this morning that the soil in which the seed was given really represents the hearts of people. And we're going to learn that all of our hearts are reflected in one form or another in this story. In fact, the Bible says there in chapter 13 and verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." And so we're going to see that the soil represents the heart. And I want you to get something by way of introduction. God is intensely interested in the condition of your heart today. God is not necessarily impressed with the number of our attendance or the size of our building, but he is looking right into our hearts today, and he is looking today for fertile ground in which his seed can find lodging. And so this morning, I want you to take some time with me as we look at the parable of the farmer sowing the seed. And if you're taking notes, I want you to see, first of all, the sower. Let's start right there with the sower. And the Bible says in verse number 3 concerning this sower, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And what we see right off the bat is that the sower initiates the process. It is the farmer that initiates the process of getting the seed out into the field. And Jesus had been doing this for over 2 years. And the Bible says in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I've got to tell you something this morning. The Bible is clear in Romans chapter 3 that there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. We do not live in a United States of America that's saying, "More about Jesus would I know. How can I know about revival? What does the Bible say about marriage?" The generation in which we live does not care to know much about God. They're not seeking him. But guess what? God is seeking us. He is showing the initiative in the process. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He initiates the process. Not only that, the farmer invests in the process. The farmer has to go out and purchase the seed, and the farmer has to go out by the sweat of his brow and till the ground and prepare the ground. And the farmer invests in the process of getting the seed out. And there are many disciplines to farming, and there are many disciplines involved in bringing a crop to full harvest. And in the case of Jesus himself, he had to enter into this harvest field called planet Earth. And the Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." You see, Jesus came down to this sin-sick field called earth, and he began to sow himself, and he began to sow his truth as the farmer sowing the seed. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister, and to give himself a ransom for many." And I don't know about you, but I thank God that Jesus invested his life in the process of sowing seed into this sin-sick world, which was choked off by the weeds of sin, but now has life through him. And so the sower in the text is none other than God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's sowing the seed. Well, let's take a look at that seed for just a moment. We've seen the sower, but what about the seed that he is sowing? Now, this is basic and somewhat introductory, but don't miss it. The seed, my friend, is the Word of God. When you read this parable, there's always a meaning behind the parables. And we study these and we say, "Lord, what is your message for me?" And we learn that the sower is the Lord. And we learn that the seed is the Bible. Luke 8 and verse number 11. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. Let's say that together. The seed is the All right. The seed is the Word of God, and the sower soweth the Word. Now, what about this seed that I hold in my hand this morning? What about the seed that we cast out from Lancaster Baptist Church, from the pulpits and the lecterns of our youth department and our children's department and our bus classes and our Spanish department and the radio ministry and door to door and in Lake LA and Rosamond and everywhere else that we go? What about this seed that I hold in my hand? Well, I want to tell you some things about it very briefly. First of all, I want to tell you this seed gives life. The seed possesses life. I've been told by some airline pilots that have spent time flying across California's deserts that at certain times after the El Nino rains, and those rains typically come when we start a building program, I've noticed. That's normally when the big rains come. But after those rainy storms, that the pilots say that sometimes from 30,000 feet up, they can look down to the floor of Death Valley. And they say, Pastor, you cannot believe that sometimes a week or two after the rains with just the right amount of sunshine, that the blue and the red and the yellow colors over hundreds and thousands of acres, it's like a rainbow staring back up at us. It's just unbelievable, the illumination. Now, prior to that rain coming, you might walk across that desert floor and you might see a little seed here and there, and you might see it and you might think, you know what, that's just something for the rabbits to run on, and that's just a little bit of debris in the way on the hard path of the desert. But when the rain comes and ignites those seeds and germinates those seeds, you've discovered that in the seed there is life, and from that life comes beautiful fruit. And I want you to remember that in the Bible there is life. And if you want your marriage to live, get the Word in your heart. And if you want your teenager to be a godly teenager, get the Word in their heart. And if you want spiritual life, you've got to get the seed into your heart. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This book is an incorruptible seed. It is alive, and when it comes into hearts of faith, it germinates and it brings forth life. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And there's plenty of seed in America today. And what we need is a watering of revival to bring that seed to life. How we thank God. This book gives life. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My friend, this book is a powerful, life-changing book. And I'm telling you, more than psychotherapy and more than counseling and more than positive self-help talk, I want you to know that the Word of God in your heart will give life where there was no life. There's life in the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. It gives life, but there's something better than that. Not only does the seed give life, listen carefully, the seed changes life. This seed can change your life. Now look what the Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 13. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 23 says this again, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. So the seed not only gives life, the seed changes life. And the seed can take a family where there was nothing but barrenness and hatred and gossip and emulation and wrath. And from that, when the seed is sown, there is life. And there is life more abundantly, and there is fruit. And where there was anger, there is joy. And where there is hatred, there is peace. And God says, I can change your life if you let my word into your heart. You see, Matthew 13, 23, I will bring forth fruit. And that's what's pictured when somebody gets baptized. When someone is in the water, we understand that water doesn't save from sin, and water doesn't wash away our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So water doesn't wash away sin. But what does water baptism picture? Water baptism pictures us like a seed being buried in the likeness of his death and being raised in the likeness of his resurrection to do what? To bring new life. You see, when someone gets saved, they have new life in Jesus Christ. And so we see today that the seed gives life and the seed changes life. So the sower is Jesus, and he came to this earth to seek and to save and to sow the seed. And the seed was his word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The seed sowing himself, the seed teaching us, and the seed has been left with us. And I hold it in my hand this morning. And you say, Pastor, why do you get so stirred up? And why do you have such conviction about the fact that same-sex marriage is a sin? And why do you preach such things with such conviction and life? Because, my friend, this book is alive and it's in my heart. And when you get the truth of this word in your heart, you'll get some convictions and you'll have some things that you believe and hold on to. And God will change your life through this book. A Christian should not view the world just as everyone else. A Christian has a different view, a different paradigm, and it comes from something that is alive and within us. Hey, we don't need any more dead orthodoxy in America. We don't need any more dead churches where people walk in and do some liturgical activity and quote a few things from some church father dead long ago. What we need today are churches alive with the Word of God. And we need to sow that word in our families and in our Sunday schools and in our church. You see, the sower was Jesus and the seed is the word. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. Some of you have never said that before, but just say it. It's fun. Amen. Right? And it's a Bible word. And amen. Jesus is the sower and the seed is the word of God. All right. Now we're going to get into the heart of this message. All right. Look at the next point here. The soil. That's what the message is about today. The soil, because your heart and my heart is called soil. There's a kind of soil that your heart is more like. We're going to look at four quickly. Different soils, different hearts. And I want you to see the first soil in verse 4. The sower, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls devoured them up. Verse 19 says that he understood it not, and then came the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The hard soil is the first type of soil that we see. This is the hard-hearted man. This man is the unsaved man whose heart is like the trail out in the desert. It's like that trail that's been stomped down by a hiker or by the cattle that have gone through. And the trail is a hard trail. It's by the wayside. Little footpaths have run it down. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that hear it." The man with the hard heart, the seed comes on top of his heart, but he doesn't have a broken up heart. No one has cultivated the heart. The heart is not prepared. And someone gives him the gospel tract and someone gives him the gospel, but it sits on top of his heart like a seed on top of asphalt going nowhere because his heart is hard. He is a hard-hearted man. And the devil likes hard-hearted people because when their heart is hard and while that seed is on top of that hard heart, he likes to swoop in and pick that seed up and get it away. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil doesn't want this in your life. The devil doesn't want you in a Bible preaching church. Hey, he wouldn't care if he went to a church and just kind of had a praise fest and sang and felt real good and very little preaching. He prefer that. But when you get under the sound of this book, the devil gets nervous because there's power in this book. And the fact is that when your heart is hard, like a raven swooping in, verse 19 says that when it's there and you're not really understanding it, your heart is hard, there's no faith, suddenly there will come, and there will come one that will grab the wicked one, will grab that seed away. And Satan plucks the seed off of that hard heart. Hebrews 13, 15 says to the children of Israel, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. You see, many times there was a hard heart with the children of Israel, and Moses would speak, but they would complain. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to follow God. And I believe that this is speaking about an unsaved man who never receives the gospel, but I believe there is an application in these four types of soil for all of us who are saved. Listen, I've known some people who with a fertile heart received Jesus, but then someone hurt their feelings, and then the one church did this, and the one pastor did this, and so-and-so's a hypocrite. And pretty soon, those who had the fertile heart to get saved, they have a hard heart all of a sudden, and they're completely out of church, living like someone who never got saved in the first place. So while the primary interpretation of this passage is the unsaved man who never receives it, how many of you would agree there's a lesson for those of us who are Christians? Don't get a hard heart. Don't get to the place where you come to church and the sermon's just dropping on your heart like seed on asphalt doing nothing. Keep a tender heart for the Lord. And so the fowls cannot come in and take that seed. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, Hosea said. Break up your heart and receive the seed of the Word of God. The first kind of soil is the hard soil. Have you ever met somebody that's just hard? There's no tenderness at all. Their heart is very hard. Notice the second kind of soil that Jesus spoke about in this parable. That is the stony soil. Stony soil. Look at that in verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, in Palestine, in the Holy Land, there is a large amount of limestone and rock. And a lot of times, the little bit of vegetation that does progress upward is just kind of creeping up through a little rock here and there. And there's a lot of stony places in Israel. And when the seeds there germinate, sometimes they'll come up just a little bit, but then when the sun comes, they'll be scorched. They never truly, watch this, were rooted for growth. Never truly were in the soil. They were in a little bit of sand maybe, a little bit of rock, but never a true planting, if you will. And I believe this stony place conversion is that which is speaking of an emotional hearer. Somebody who had heard, maybe they got excited, maybe they went to a program, maybe there was a moment of emotion and they said something religious, but never truly were saved. Not saying they were even saved, saying that they never were saved, never were rooted in Christ. And then one of the tests of that is along comes the sun, and the sun in this parable represents the trials of life. And let me say very quickly, for a true believer, how many of you are a believer, a follower of Christ? You've been born again. For a true believer, when the trials come, though we may not like them, though they may hurt, though they put us in pause for a long time, when the trials come, if you're truly saved, they draw you closer to God. You start saying, Lord, what's in this for me? Lord, what do you want me to learn here? Lord, show me your word.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here.